Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. This is a program where you supply the questions and we try to do our very best to supply the answers. If you have a question or a comment for the Mormon Channel Q&A, feel free to send us an email. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. If you'd like to podcast this episode or download it so you can listen to it later, you can go to our website at radio.lds.org. If you'd like to call and leave a comment for us, you can do so at 1-877-MY-LDS-321. This is a special edition of the Mormon Channel Q&A, the visiting teaching message for September, and we encourage you to visit reliefsociety.lds.org. This month, the message is titled, Our Responsibility to Nurture the Rising Generation. We each not only have a sacred responsibility to rear our children in love and righteousness, but also to be leaders and examples to the children in our communities. On April 28, 1842, at a meeting with the Relief Society Sisters in Nauvoo, the Prophet Joseph Smith taught the women, "As you increase in innocence and virtue, as you increase in goodness, let your hearts expand. Let them be enlarged towards others. How precious are the souls of men." From very early in the church, women have been instructed to be nurturers to all those around them. Addressing the sisters at the General Relief Society meeting on September 23, 1995, President Gordon B. Hinckley said, quote, "The world we are in is a world of turmoil, of shifting values. Shrill voices call out for one thing or another in betrayal of time-tested standards of behavior." Close quote. President Hinckley went on to introduce to the sisters, the church, and ultimately people everywhere, the family, a proclamation to the world. The proclamation has become the foundation for Latter-day Saints' belief about the family, a statement to which we can hold fast and know that by living its precepts, we are strengthening our families and homes. So here's the question. How can we use the family, a proclamation to the world, to help us nurture the rising generation? The proclamation states, quote, "All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose," close quote. We can nurture the rising generation by helping them to recognize their divine nature and unique talents and attributes. Many youth are struggling with self-esteem and confidence. We can reach out with attention and love to members of our ward, branch, family, or community and help them recognize how special they are. The proclamation also states, quote, "The sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife, that the family is ordained of God, and marriage between a man and a woman is essential to his eternal plan," close quote. We can help the rising generation understand the importance of living a virtuous life in preparation for marriage in the temple. Relief Society General President Sister Julie B. Beck said, quote, "In the church, we teach saving principles, and those principles are family principles, the principles that will help the rising generation form a family, teach that family, and prepare that family for ordinances and covenants, and then the next generation will teach the next and so on. We have the responsibility to be very clear on key points of doctrine found in the proclamation on the family. Motherhood and fatherhood are eternal roles and responsibilities. We must speak respectfully of marriage and family. And from our example, the rising generation can gain hope and understanding, not just from the words we speak, but from the way we feel and emanate the spirit of family," close quote. Elder M. Russell Ballard explains the divine roles in marriage. He said, quote, "Men and women joined together in marriage need to work together as a full partnership. However, a full and equal partnership between men and women does not imply the roles played by the two sexes are the same in God's grand design for his children. As the proclamation clearly states, men and women, though spiritually equal, are entrusted with different but equally significant roles. These roles complement each other. Men are given stewardship over the sacred ordinances of the priesthood. To women, God gives stewardship over bestowing and nurturing mortal life, including providing physical bodies for God's spirit children and guiding those children toward a knowledge of gospel truths. These stewardships, equally sacred and important, do not involve any false ideas about domination or subordination. Each stewardship is essential for spiritual progression of all family members, parents, and children alike. Close quote. How can we nurture the rising generation? Elder Jeffrey R. Holland gives us some advice.
Live the gospel as conspicuously as you can. Keep the covenants your children know you have made. Give priesthood blessings and bear your testimony. Don't just assume that your children will somehow get the drift of your beliefs on their own. The prophet Nephi said near the end of his life that they had written their record of Christ and preserved their convictions regarding his gospel in order to persuade our children, he said, that our children may know and believe the right way.
That's Elder Jeffrey R. Holland from the April 2003 General Conference. In a talk titled, More Diligent and Concerned at Home, Elder David A. Bednar echoes the words of Elder Holland and encourages parents to be examples to their children by living the commandments.
Each family prayer, each episode of family scripture study, and each family home evening is a brushstroke on the canvas of our souls. No one event may appear to be very impressive or memorable, but just as the yellow and gold and brown strokes of paint complement each other and produce an impressive masterpiece, so our consistency in doing seemingly small things can lead to significant spiritual results. Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. Consistency is a key principle as we lay the foundation of a great work in our individual lives and as we become more diligent and concerned in our own homes. Being consistent in our homes is important for another reason. Many of the Savior's harshest rebukes were directed to hypocrites. Jesus warned his disciples concerning the scribes and Pharisees, "Do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." This strong admonition is sobering, given the counsel to express love and show it, to bear testimony and live it, and to be consistent. The hypocrisy in our lives is most readily discerned and causes the greatest destruction within our own homes. And children often are the most alert and sensitive when it comes to recognizing hypocrisy.
That's Elder David A. Bednar from the October 2009 General Conference. The demands on our time are increasing, and it may seem hard to find time to gather our families for scripture study, prayer, and family home evening. Elder M. Russell Ballard counsels that we simplify our lives.
Don't overschedule yourselves or your children. We live in a world that is filled with options. If we're not careful, we will find every minute jammed with social events, classes, exercise time, book clubs, scrapbooking, church callings, music, sports, and the internet and our favorite TV shows. One mother told me of the time that her children had 29 scheduled commitments every week. Music lessons, scouts, dance, little league, day camp, soccer, art, and so forth. She felt like a taxi driver. Finally, she called a family meeting and announced, "Something has to go. We have no time to ourselves and no time for each other." Families need unstructured time when relationships can deepen and real parenting can take place. Take time to listen, to laugh, and to play together.
That's Elder M. Russell Ballard from the April 2008 General Conference. As we learn to make priorities and balance our time, we will have more quality time with our children. Sister Julie B. Beck teaches what we can do to help balance our time.
Mothers who know do less. They permit less of what will not bear good fruit eternally. They allow less media in their homes, less distraction, less activity that draws their children away from their home. Mothers who know are willing to live on less and consume less of the world's goods in order to spend more time with their children. More time eating together, more time working together, more time reading together, more time talking, laughing, singing, and exemplifying. These mothers choose carefully and do not try to choose it all. Their goal is to prepare a rising generation of children who will take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the entire world. Their goal is to prepare future fathers and mothers who will be builders of the Lord's kingdom for the next 50 years. That is influence. That is power.
The responsibility of raising our children and helping the youth in our communities may seem daunting at times. Elder Russell M. Nelson gives advice on how to guide our youth to obey the commandments.
When a child needs correction, you might ask yourself, what can I say or do that would persuade him or her to choose a better way? When giving necessary correction, do it quietly, privately, lovingly, and not publicly. If a rebuke is required, show an increase in love promptly so that seeds of resentment may not remain. To be persuasive, your love must be sincere and your teachings based on divine doctrine and correct principles. Do not try to control your children. Instead, listen to them. Help them to learn the gospel. Inspire them and lead them toward eternal life. You are God's agents in the care of children He has entrusted to you. Let His divine influence remain in your hearts as you teach and persuade.
Sister Julie B. Beck expounds on what it means to be a nurturer to the rising generation and how we can lead and teach our youth.
Mothers who know are nurturers. This is their special assignment and role under the plan of happiness. To nurture means to cultivate, care for, and make grow. Therefore, mothers who know create a climate for spiritual and temporal growth in their homes. Another word for nurturing is homemaking. Homemaking includes cooking, washing clothes and dishes, and keeping an orderly home. Home is where women have the most power and influence. Therefore, Latter-day Saint women should be the best homemakers in the world. Working beside children in homemaking tasks creates opportunities to teach and model qualities children should emulate. Nurturing mothers are knowledgeable, but all the education women attain will avail them nothing if they do not have the skill to make a home that creates a climate for spiritual growth. Growth happens best in a house of order, and women should pattern their homes after the Lord's house. Nurturing requires organization, patience, love, and work. Helping growth occur through nurturing is truly a powerful and influential role bestowed on women. Mothers who know are leaders. In equal partnership with their husbands, they lead a great and eternal organization. These mothers plan for the future of their organization. They plan for missions, temple marriages, and education. They plan for prayer, scripture study, and family home evening. Mothers who know build children into future leaders and are the primary examples of what leaders look like. They do not abandon their plan by succumbing to social pressure and worldly models of parenting. These wise mothers who know are selective about their own activities and involvement to conserve their limited strength in order to maximize their influence where it matters most. Mothers who know are always teachers. Since they are not babysitters, they are never off duty. A well-taught friend told me that he did not learn anything at church that he had not already learned at home. His parents used family scripture study, prayer, family home evening, meal times, and other gatherings to teach. Think of the power of our future missionary force if mothers considered their homes as a pre-missionary training center. Then, the doctrines of the gospel taught in the MTC would be a review and not a revelation. That is influence. That is power.
That's Sister Julie B. Beck from the October 2007 General Conference. We have a great responsibility to nurture the rising generation and to help them realize their potential. Elder Neil L. Anderson emphasizes the importance of teaching them how to live the gospel.
We hold in our arms the rising generation. They come to this earth with important responsibilities and great spiritual capacities. We cannot be casual in how we prepare them. Our challenge as parents and teachers is not to create a spiritual core in their souls, but rather to fan the flame of their spiritual core, already aglow with the fire of their premortal faith.
That's Elder Neil L. Anderson from the April 2010 General Conference. Thanks for joining us for a special edition of the Mormon Channel Q&A on the September Visiting Teaching Message, Our Responsibility to Nurture the Rising Generation. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel Q&A or to share your story with the Mormon Channel, feel free to send us an email at radio@ldschurch.org, or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-877-MY-LDS-321. Thanks so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.